This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Open Mic. It is Wednesday, July the 30th. I'm your host, Johnny Kane, and we have a great show ahead. I feel like I say that every week, but I feel like every week we do have a great show. This week's show is going to be heavy on college football talk as far as when games in a certain conference will be available to watch, who to watch when it comes to the all-too-early Heisman predictions, and then college football quarterback rankings as a whole. So a lot of college football to get to. Again, I know we're all enjoying summer, so we don't want to look too far ahead into the fall, but it's going to be here before we know it. Better to have a good understanding of what to expect once we get to college football season. We're going to start tonight with what is really a significant decision by one of the major Power Five conferences to shift a good portion of their games off a more traditional Saturday schedule and move them to Friday night. Gabe Loper, student at Wayne State University studying journalism and public relations, contributor at sportscaster.com, great guy, great insight. What do you know about the ACC, Gabe, deciding to play college football on a night that I think a lot of us, like guys like you and me, was always reserved for high school football on a Friday?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, especially we've seen different conferences move games to different days. Obviously, Maction plays what seems like every day except for Saturdays. But to see a Power Five conference with the ACC kind of go about this way is a little different. And I think it caught a lot of fans off guard. But with this new age of college football, where it's not just conferences, but it's TV schedules and stuff as well, where we have Fox Sports versus ESPN and CBS in the mix, where conferences and teams, they have to change things up. And especially, in my opinion at least, I think many would agree that the ACC product has not been top of the game in comparison to the other Power Fives. So, you know, in order to attract viewership and what Jim Phillips called an already packed Saturday slate, it's something different, but, you know, the Friday thing is huge. I agree that, you know, Friday was kind of reserved for high school ball, or, you know, high school on Friday, college on Saturday, and, you know, they got the pros on Sunday, and of course, the Monday night and the Thursday night game as well. But
right.
It's just, man, Friday night football for college is different, especially full season.
Yeah, you're all over it. I mean, you mentioned Jim Fisher, commissioner of the ACC. Look, I think I'm a traditionalist in nature in most of the way I operate in life, but all that's going away. Like conference realignment, geographic rivalries, all that stuff's going away because at the end of the day, can you monetize? Can you get better visibility? Can you generate better revenue by shifting your slate? Like if I gave you the choice, I said, hey, here's the Big Ten matchup at noon on Saturday, and here's the SEC matchup, and here's the ACC, you're probably watching in that order, right? So if you say, okay, what's a day of the week that we can kind of shift to, go to, and attract a different audience that may not make it out to high school football games, it makes sense from a revenue-generating standpoint. And again, visibility for a league in the Power Five, like you mentioned, that doesn't have so many headline teams, doesn't have as much parity, I think, from top to bottom in the conference. But, you know, I do feel for the high school football fans and high school football players and everything else that, you know, you're going to detract a little bit from what traditionally, historically has been a night that we reserve for prep sports.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But at the same time, I think those that, you know, want to watch and follow high school football are going to watch and follow high school football no matter what. I mean, hypothetically, if you have a kid that's playing varsity sports, but you're also a Georgia Tech football fan, I think you're probably going to watch your son's football game. But I mean, if you're a high school football fanatic, that's kind of what you're doing anyway, you know, or if you're a Georgia Tech fan who watches high school football on occasion, or, you know, maybe follow some recruits that might be going to Georgia instead of Georgia Tech, I think you'll, you know, in that case, I think, you know, the Friday nights you'll switch over to watch, you know, some Georgia Tech football on ACC Network. So I think it's one of those things where the scheduling changes a bit, but I think for those two fan bases, you know, the diehards that are watching high school football on Friday nights and following it, whether it's locally or nationally, I think you'll see that community kind of stay where it is. And then you'll see those who are ACC football fans or just college football fans in general who just want to consume more football now 3 days a week instead of, you know, 3 days during the entire weekend as opposed to just Saturday, Sunday. I think they'll eat that up.
Yeah, I think you're right, dude. And that's the, you know, again, it's like if somebody said, okay, here's more football on a different day, you know, it's like now you got to explain to your girlfriends, your wives, you know, it's like, honey, there's a game on It's like, now, wait a second, you know, again? You're like, yeah, well, we got one Friday, we got one Saturday, we got one Sunday, we got one Monday. Now you got midweek Maction coming up, which we all love. I went to a Mac school, and it was a similar type deal that the Mac faced. Again, you know, not being a Power Five, but you say, how can we heighten our brand? How can we get in front of some people? So we're going to play college football on a weekday night. And that, you know, has come to be appointment television. You know, you come home from a long day of work, you get a chance to go home and watch football games. So I think it's something that the ACC may be the first big conference to say, this is what we're going to do. And now you could see other conferences might look at it and say, we want to get in that window too. Who's to say that these traditional college football Saturdays that a lot of people look forward to once the work week is done, most people's work weeks have shifted over the last several years. So it's like, well, what is a traditional? There's not really the 9 to 5, 40 hour a week stuff. That's kind of out the window. Now it's like, hey, do we want to consume it? Can we consume it? And can you put it on every night of the week? We will watch.
Yes, we will. You know?
All right, good stuff, man. I appreciate it. How's everything going at Wayne State University? Staying busy?
Man, I'm super excited for it. I'm super excited for the school year to start back up, which is crazy because it's like senior year, final season. But things are lining up already, helping out with game operations and stuff on the sidelines for football games for Wayne State, which is exciting. And then, Hey, talk about high school football, drive to the game. And hopefully Friday nights you'll see me on WJR some more.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We look forward to that. Drive to the game. We'll get more into that in the weeks ahead. But I know you're involved in that. And obviously with Sportscaster's involvement and WJR having the platform to be able to broadcast high school football games on Friday nights, special stuff, great way to get involved. It'll always hold a special place in my heart, even though I wasn't a great ball player. And that's okay. But I'm a great high school football fan, so we'll leave it at that. Do want to mention everybody that ACC's first Friday night game is going to be Georgia Tech against Colorado. Obviously, some shifting sands at Colorado with Coach Prime. But that's coming up on Friday, August the 29th, which is actually my birthday, Gabe.
Oh, happy early birthday, Mr. Kane.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, Gabe Loper, sportscaster.com contributor, student at Wayne State University, does such a great job breaking down the shift from the ACC conference, shifting 12 games now to Friday nights. College football season will be here before we know it. Not that we want to rush to get there, but fall is one of my favorite times of the year. And Emily Wisnowski is one of our newest contributors at sportscaster.com. She's a University of Georgia graduate, now working at KLBK in Lubbock, Texas, covering the Red Raiders. Emily, here to offer her insight on the Heisman Trophy frontrunners heading into the 2025 college football season.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sportscaster. I'm Emily Wisnowski. I join you all with some really great news. Media days have wrapped up with the Big Ten and ACC, and I wanted to take the time to dial in and check out one of the biggest conversational pieces throughout each conference's media days, and that is the Heisman candidates. Yes, everyone loves a way too early prediction, and who we see winning the Heisman in 2026 is no different. So for today, I wanted to say I pulled my specific odds from BetMGM, ESPN, Fox Sports, FanDuel. They all have similar odds. Just for today's sake, I'll be using BetMGM. Without further ado, let's get into it. All right, number five, plus 1400, senior Penn State quarterback, Drew Aller. He led the Nittany Lions through an extremely successful 2024 season. They made the playoffs. They actually went quite far in the playoffs. Throughout last year, he had 24 touchdowns, 3,300 plus yards, 8 interceptions. But that last interception was a doozy. Now I want you to close your eyes, picture this. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Everyone else. Fourth quarter of the college football playoff semifinal versus Notre Dame. 33 seconds on the clock. It's a tied game. Penn State has the ball. Christian Gray picks Aller off. Notre Dame goes on from that interception. They kick a field goal. They move on to go to the national championship game versus Ohio State. Eek. Really bad interception, right? However, I look at this, it's redemption arc time for Aller, right? Penn State, once again, is predicted to make it into the playoffs. And they're actually one of the national title favorites for this upcoming season. So if Drew Aller can continue to progress like he has each and every year, getting more comfortable in the pocket, being able to run the ball, so there's less opportunities to throw it in tight spaces and possibly get picked off. Yes, 100% see him as a solid fit for the Heisman, plus 1400. I'd take it. All right, number four, following suit, plus 1,000, is sophomore Ohio State wide receiver Jeremiah Smith. He's the only non-quarterback lurking on this list, and reasonably so. Last season, 76 receptions, 1,300 plus yards, 15 touchdowns. Dude is a beast. And guess what? He can also step in as a rusher too. 16 carries, 47 yards with one touchdown. Heading into the season, he is yet again another favorite playmaker for the Buckeyes. I was listening this morning. They're considering him one of the greatest college football players going into next season. My two cents on his Heisman candidacy, though, it is going to involve the pieces around him. All right, Ohio State lost a lot of key pieces on their offense last season, whether it be to the draft or to the portal. And unfortunately for wide receivers, they rely a lot on everyone else around them, but most importantly, the quarterback. Now, as of right now, I'm seeing mixed reviews. Do we know who Ohio State's quarterback is right now? I keep seeing Julian Sayin. And from what I've seen from him last season, 12 attempts, 5 completions, a lot of question marks. Will Howard, as we all know, he got drafted. So don't know who your quarterback is. Don't know who you're catching the ball from. I don't know if you can win the Heisman. However, I will say seeing Jeremiah Smith on this list, I absolutely love it because I feel like the Heisman's kind of become the quarterback award. I'd love to see some other positions in the running. And so plus 1,000, I'll take it. All right, number three on the list, following suit, plus 900, senior Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik. Yes, another well-developed senior player on this list. He'll probably go into the draft after this season. Last season, however, 3,600 plus yards, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Talk about resume, people. And the thing with Cade Klubnik, and my two cents, I think he should be number two on this list. We'll get into that a little later. Clemson has a very, very favorable schedule this season. Okay. They have no Miami, which is probably their closest competition because the ACC struggling a little bit, to say the least. I mean, their hardest game is probably their season opener versus LSU. 2 weeks after that, they have Georgia Tech. So other than that, like, it's pretty much smooth sailing for him. And his biggest enemy in his Heisman candidacy is probably going to be his offensive line. And here's the thing. They fare very well against your average defense. And looking at the ACC this season, it's a very average conference. But when they play against a very good defense, they get exposed. And we saw it all last season against Texas. When head coach Jabo Swinney was asked about Klubnik going into his senior year, he said, quote, "He's developed, he's gotten better, but he's got to take another step. Now it's more precision, more detail, more awareness, all those things, just a little bit. And if he does that, he's going to have a great year." Guess what? I agree. All right, plus 850, number two, senior LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier. He is my personal favorite for the Heisman candidate. And that in part relies to the fact that I have a lot of high hopes for LSU this year. I do. And head coach Brian Kelly really needs it too. So last season, LSU finished 9-4. Here's where I think that kind of plays in part. So Nussmeier last season, 4,000 plus yards, 29 touchdowns, but he had 12 interceptions. Now this dude, he has undeniable arm talent. I mean, 4,000 plus yards, it's a get-go. And he told media at the Manning Passing Academy that he's spent a lot of time in the offseason kind of building his body to take advantage of the rush opportunities. In part, hopefully a tactic that will cut down some of those turnovers. Great player, senior, and his benefit too in the Heisman candidacy is that he's one of the few returning SEC quarterbacks for next season. So he's got the experience there. LSU has built the program around this dude. So now it's just, can we put all the puzzle pieces together, clean up the game a little bit, and get it done? That's the question. All right, number one, finally, at plus 600. Keep in mind, it's 250 difference between one and two. This is insane. Number one, the Heisman favorite by far, sophomore Texas quarterback Arch Manning, undisputed favorite. He's a projected starter for the Longhorns this season. And this take, it's a little crazy. My opinion, it's blown out of proportion, but guess what? Even Arch Manning himself is like, where is this coming from? So SEC Media Days, Manning told media, quote, "I'm not sure how they got these opinions. I've only played what? 2 games. It's nice of them to say, but it doesn't mean anything. Talk is cheap. I got to go prove it." dude's got his head on his shoulders. That is for sure. Look, here's the thing. I don't think Arch is going to be bad by any means. Steve Sarkisian has done a phenomenal job building up the Longhorn program since he got hired in 2021. But here are some stats from Arch last season that I wanted to share with you guys. So he played in 10 games last season. I like to say he was thrown in as a quarterback for, quote unquote, two real regular season games. And it was hosting Florida and hosting Georgia. Against Georgia, he was 3 for 6, 19 yards, and he was sacked twice. When he tried to run the ball, 4 carries, total of -1 yards. Hosting Florida, 3 for 6, 19. Not the best stats in the world. And look, here's the thing with Arch. He's got the family name. He's got the high expectations, but favorite at plus 600 is crazy. I mean, I don't realistically see him winning the Heisman. I don't think he's going to be bad by any means, but I mean, Texas has the 4th toughest schedule in all of college football this upcoming season. They start off the gate August 30th at Ohio State. Then they have to go to Florida on October 8th. Rest in peace if that's a night game, because the Swamp is not a place that you want to step foot into once the sun goes down. Then finally, they close out their difficulty at Georgia. 3 very, very tough stadiums to go and compete against. So in all, yes, a lot of questions surrounding Arch Manning, but guess what? There's a lot of questions surrounding all of these guys, but that's what makes it way too early prediction. But that's also what makes it fun. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's keep that countdown to kickoff rolling off, because you know I am too.
Emily Wisnowski, dig it. The countdown to kickoff. College football season just a month away. Will it be one of the 5 names that Emily mentioned headlining the Heisman race, or could potentially a dark horse candidate emerge? We'll all wait to find out. College football season will be here shortly. We have been talking a lot about college football because it is on the horizon. It is, I don't know, about a month away now. So we're looking forward to what's coming up. And obviously there's a lot of projections. And if you're into like preseason rankings and all that stuff, it gives us something to look forward to before we actually get to it. And that's the interesting part of it. How it's all going to play out, we just don't know. Cooper Schoenberg, Indiana University, Carter Lutz, University of Miami. These guys are plugged in the know on the college football landscape. Boys, good to have you back on the show.
Johnny, thanks for having us. It's a pleasure as always.
All right. I believe you. I believe you on that. So let's talk rankings here, in specific quarterback rankings, because as we know, obviously in the new landscape of college football, we don't see starters from year to year to year. A lot of times with the transfer portal and everything else, we see different faces, different names, different numbers. And so there's not a lot of familiarity, I think, for some of these big name programs. Say, well, who is it that's going to be under center this year? So give me a sense of what your commentary is all about as you guys rank college football quarterbacks heading into 2025.
Well, I think obviously with the quarterback being one of the most polarizing positions in all of sports, it's changed a lot through college football, specifically due to NIL and the fact that we pretty much have free agency going on right now. So there's a lot of hype for these guys coming into new programs, learning new systems. And I think it's a really interesting spot to kind of take a step back and analyze where these guys are at. And Cooper and I, besides just going at each other's throats regarding the Indiana and Miami quarterbacks, yeah, we looked at some of the top tier guys going on right now. A college football quarterback is like the position in sports, but there's so much uncertainty, as I said, and you really don't know what you're going to get. Some guys are going to be climbing the ranks. Some dudes who are hyped up aren't going to deliver under pressure. So it's a really fun spot to look at it from.
Coop, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed the talk. And I think, you know, all we can do commenting on these quarterbacks is give kind of our best educated guesses, our best predictions, because obviously we don't know. But like Carter talked about, with everything happening within the transfer portal and NIL, guys are placed on different teams, in different systems, in different conferences. So you really don't know how these quarterbacks are going to play out in their new teams. It's kind of a make or break, all or nothing type of thing.
No, it's a great point. And I think, look, in all sports and at all levels, obviously the quarterback is of paramount importance, but especially in college football. And we've seen that with NIL and with the transfer portal, you know, just what the going rate is to get a viable starting quarterback and then to get an elite level starting quarterback. If you want to be a national championship contender, that position has to be solidified. I mean, that is, I think in college athletics, you would say the most well-known name in any household of a favorite team or a favorite university. Everybody knows who the quarterback is, and we're going to do our best to explain who those quarterbacks to look for here as we head into the 2025 season. Boys, appreciate it. Looking forward to the commentary. Cooper Schoenberg, Carter Lutz, ranking the 2025 quarterbacks in college football.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cooper and Carter's segment for this week's edition of Sportscaster Open Mic. The Athletic dropped a list ranking quarterbacks. They came out with seven tiers. Cooper, let's start with tier one. What are your initial thoughts? What are some of maybe your hot takes that you have going into the year?
I see two guys that pique my interest in tier one, both SEC quarterbacks, 6'3", the 6'4", range, 240 to 250 pounds. I mean, these guys are built ready for the pros already. Had to work out some freshman kinks in their first year, but I'm looking at Lenore Sellers and I'm looking at DJ Lagway, guys with phenomenal arms heading into their sophomore years. And I really want to see them make that jump. Lagway didn't start to begin, threw 456 yards in his first start, and then went the rest of the second half. He had a couple of costly turnovers, freshman errors, and mental mistakes. But I want to see them cool, calm, collected, keep their composure, and enter in with a big second sophomore year. What do you got to say?
Let's talk about Lagway, because I went to the Miami-Florida game last year. He was able to come in the second half, and the game was out of reach. Yep. Lagway ended up playing throughout the year, as you highlighted, but this guy just has that it factor. Yep. I kind of feel it and I kind of see it. A clear, perfect build for a college quarterback. Almost looks like Cam Newton out there, the way he throws the ball and runs. But he's terrific. I like what he's doing. I like him against that SEC talent. And then a guy that maybe hasn't been talked about a lot, but got a bag in the transfer portal, John Mader. And he's going to be at Oklahoma, another SEC team. There's all these SEC quarterbacks that could either go so well or fall so hard. Another guy, Nussmeier, I think he's going to end up being the number one pick in the draft. Lots of fun names in tier one. A guy that is in tier one right now that I don't think will be there by the end of it. I'm a Drew Aller hater. I'm going to put my hand up and just admit
wow.
to it. I'm not into the guy. I just don't think he's that good. We saw him in that Notre Dame game and made key mistakes, and he's coming out as a projected top five pick. Can you explain it to me? Because I just don't get it.
I could not back it up, argue it, whatever. You know, we like to go back and forth on this show, but I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't really see anything special. Of course, I'm a little biased because I am a James Franklin hater. I don't think that he's going to coach him well enough. I don't think he's a good enough player to compete in the Big Ten. Yeah, I completely agree.
I mean, Penn State's going to compete in the Big Ten because they have a terrific roster. But as you said, James Franklin, what quarterback has he developed? None.
Nothing.
So I'm not buying the Drew Aller hype. They still might go undefeated in the regular season. They're loaded, but we'll see. Let's go to tier two because, I mean, before we came on here, you're throwing shade at my guy Carson Beck, who's ranked 12th, which I think is just a perfect spot for him. Going into last year, he's probably top five on this list. Now he's at 12, he's at Miami. As a University of Miami student, at the time, I was shaking my head a little bit. I'm officially a Carson Beck believer, Cooper. Sign me up. Let's get on this horse and let's ride. Let's ride.
You're a Carson Beck believer because you have to. Like, you got no choice.
No, because I changed my ways. I didn't have to do anything.
Look, you were a Van Dyke believer. We saw how that turned out. And now Carson,
accountability on that one. That's my
bad. Obviously, Cam Ward, a different type of dog. He was a beast. You know, it's tough to root for your friends' teams, but I loved Miami last year. I loved the U. I love the history. But he is not going to go down in history as one of those great U Miami quarterbacks. I'm going to abbreviate. I'm going to call it TUDE. That's short for attitude. Everybody talks about it. And when he's joking while his team's down, you're trying to compete for an SEC title or a spot in the college football playoffs. And he's just not making the right plays. He's completely mentally checked out.
When?
What's going to happen if the Miami defense stays the same as they did last year and they're letting up 40 points a game and he's trying to do all that he can, but it's not good enough. And come 5 minutes left, make or break time. And he's already mentally checked out because that's the type of player he is. I don't love it. And I'm sure you do. So to each his own, but I'm excited to see how it plays out.
what we have in this article is if he's healthy, and that's a big if, he's the second best quarterback in the ACC, which I think is fair. Another guy I want to throw attention to. Okay, we'll talk about Carson Beck throughout the college football season.
Sure.
Tons of question marks there. Really hard to say right now what it's going to be because I think he's going to take on a different role with Miami than he did with Georgia. But another guy in tier two, before we get into your guy Mendoza quickly, Haynes King at Georgia Tech, love him. He plays hard-nosed football. He'll run through a man if he needs to in the middle of the open field. I love it. I think he's great. I think Georgia Tech's going to be fun in the ACC. Haynes King starting his third season. I like him at rank 16. He's going to make his way up towards that tier one. But let's talk about Fernando Mendoza. Give me the preview because I don't know much.
I mean, you see him at Cal, and he's competing last year with great teams like Miami. When obviously they had game day, Marshawn Lynch, it was an electric game back and forth. Mendoza really made a name for himself, but this guy has it all. He's a 6'5", 225 quarterback at around 70% completion rate. He had a calm little 16 touchdown to 6 interception ratio. Very accurate passer. And the thing that I love most about him coming to Indiana, I think what he loved most about coming to Indiana is we have Elijah Surratt, a top first round projected wide receiver. We have Omar Cooper coming back, and we have Donovan McCauley, who's another senior wide receiver. We have juniors to seniors in the wide receiver positions. These guys at any given time can be the wide receiver one on any given day. And they are paired up with an absolute stud, an accurate passer who I think is going to be coached beautifully by Cignetti and is going to take over this Big Ten. I'm calling it right here. Floor is around 8-4, 9-3, ceiling 11-1. Oregon is going to be tough to beat on the road. We can get into that later in the September months, but Fernando Mendoza taking over the Big Ten.
Yeah, we'll have to have Sportscaster Research look into that. But one thing I'll say before we wrap it up, it's interesting to see all these moves with the transfers, with younger guys starting, and how it's going to shape up because Mendoza was going up against Pac-12 and ACC defenses. Now he's going up against Big Ten defenses.
Yeah.
It's a tall task, but the boys in Bloomington, they're holding on to some faith. That's going to do it for our segment for Open Mic. Thank you all for joining, Cooper. It's been a pleasure.
As always.
Football's back. Football's back.
It's so back, and I'm so excited.
All right, you're listening to Carter Lutz and Cooper Schoenberg. They have a podcast as well called Live and Uncut. Very informative, very insightful. The boys like to go back and forth with one another, but good stuff. And obviously a lot to look forward to as we do look at college football as a whole. And again, the quarterbacks to look for as we head into the 2025 season. We have talked a lot about college football, about the Heisman Trophy candidates, about the best quarterbacks to look for as we head into the season. But also, as we transition out of summer into fall and into the winter sports, the NBA season will be here before we know it as well. I know there's a lot of excitement, certainly here in the state of Michigan, to see what the Pistons can do coming off their sixth place finish in the Eastern Conference of a season ago. And there are a lot of players in the league with direct ties to the state of Michigan, including a young man named Ryan Rollins, who just signed a new deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. Ryan Rollins, a graduate of Dakota High School, and that is also the same high school where Giovanni Mascheri, who went on to study at Oakland University. He's a proud Dakota Cougar alum. And he sat down with the boys basketball coach, Paul Toko, to talk about the new deal signed by Ryan Rollins as they head into the 2025 NBA season. Here is Giovanni Mascheri.
What's going on, sportscaster.com? We got huge news coming out of the Macomb area, specifically as it relates to Dakota High School. As one of their proud alumni in the class of 2020, Ryan Rollins just signed a three-year, $12 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, marking the highest achievement any Dakota Cougar has gone to and a milestone for the program as a whole. And it's a story that hits a little bit close to home for me as well. I myself am also a Dakota 2020 graduate. My time was spent in the pool with swim and dive while Ryan was competing on the basketball court just across the hall from the pool. And to give us a little bit of insight as to the early career of Ryan Rollins, we got a chance to chat with head coach of the Dakota Cougars boys basketball program, Paul Toko, where he gives us a sense that this was no surprise for coach, given what he has seen from Ryan in the past. So I'd like to welcome in head coach of the Dakota Cougars, Paul Tocco. And coach, this is huge news for the program. When you saw the news that Ryan Rollins, one of your star pupils, signed a 3-year, $12 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, what was your reaction?
The initial reaction, obviously very happy for the family, very happy for Ryan. But, you know, we knew this was coming because he puts in the work all the time. He's a determined kid, and he's gotten some breaks in the last couple of years and got an opportunity to play. And, you know, signing that contract was obviously a big deal for him. But we saw this coming, you know, as a coaching staff, as our family, his friends, and we knew this was inevitable at some point. But we're very happy for him to obviously be able to sign that deal.
And then going back to his freshman year, so I'll let people behind the curtain here. I was a classmate of Ryan's, and I remember hearing around in the hallway that Moneyball Ryan is one of the few freshmen to start on Dakota's varsity team. So back to his freshman year, what did you see right away that kind of gave you this projection of success?
Well, he's been around our program since middle school. He started playing with the varsity as a freshman, and he unfortunately went through some injuries. He probably would have contributed a whole lot more as a freshman. We did have a very talented team that year, but you could just see it in him right away as a youngster, watching him play, probably since he was 10 or 11 years old. He had it, and he grew and matured and worked on his body, but we could just tell right away he was going to be a very good player. He had a lot of things going for him at that age, a left hand that you don't see a whole lot. He thought through the game. He was very intellectually smart on the court. And you can see that when you've been coaching basketball as long as I had.
And then kind of describe it to me, like from your perspective on the court, like during practice and during games, like what kind of a player was Ryan back then? Was he kind of like the vocal leader? Was he lead by example?
Oh, he was quiet. You know, he wasn't necessarily very vocal. Would hang out with my son or other kids on the team, he would laugh and have a good time, but he wasn't real vocal back then. He was quiet and just went about his game and did his thing. As a freshman, he just, you know, he just played. And he, you know, was a part of things right away. And he did lead by example the older he got. He said something to me the other day when he was home. He said, Coach, it's really not about where you go or where you play at. It's the work that you put in when no one's watching. He wasn't the most highly recruited kid out of high school. And you can tell that he's taken his game to a whole nother level when no one necessarily believed in him at that point.
Does he kind of come around the program often whenever he comes home? Does he ever speak to now the current teams? I'm curious of his like alumni involvement nowadays.
Yeah, he was at Dakota a couple months back, and he talked with one of our better players and just had a conversation with him. And then he comes over to the Compound Athletics, the place that I own, and he works out over there with his trainer. And he stays around our program, so we're, you know, happy to have him. We're talking about retiring his uniform this winter, and he's got a sense of pride for his community. So that's a good thing about him and his family.
Jersey retirement like that seems well-deserved.
Absolutely.
And I want to take it now to his senior year, where 2020 cut off a lot of the high school sports post-seasons. You know, not only the basketball season, myself with swimming included, but I took a look back at the history of it at a quick glance. You guys were really good. 18-3 overall in the regular season, 9-1 in MAC Red play, and the playoffs cut off just after the second game of districts. Do you think we missed out on a great Dakota postseason?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was one of the better teams we ever had at Dakota. Our starting five was as good as anybody. And just based on the results of playing some of the best teams in the state of Michigan that season, we won games and we were in almost every game. We were all devastated when COVID hit and those boys didn't get an opportunity to play because, you know, I've been coaching a long time and that was a team that could have made some noise in the tournament. So it was a tough way to go that year, but it was the same thing for everybody. So it was difficult that it was Ryan's senior year.
But with that, he still made some noise beyond the walls of Dakota into Toledo, first team all MAC, and then up into the NBA. Now with that 3-year, $12 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, we got a whole lot of Ryan Rollins left to watch in his NBA career. And Coach Tocco, I want to thank you again for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Always great hearing from the high school coaches around the great state of Michigan who put so much time and effort into educating these youngsters that have dreams of going on to play at the next level. And for that very small few that are able to go on and compete at the highest level, Ryan Rounds, an opportunity doing that, signing that new deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. So we'll be watching his career as he continues to move forward. And obviously, you know, we don't want the Milwaukee Bucks to have too much success in the Eastern Conference this year, but certainly rooting for all his success moving forward. I do want to thank all our guests today, including Giovanni Mascheri and head coach Paul Tocco there at Dakota High School. And also our list of panelists as we discuss a lot of college football this week as we get ready for that season, which will be coming up. Cooper Schoenberg and Carter Lutz, a couple of good guys and regular contributors at sportscaster.com as they broke down the college football quarterback rankings. And also Emily Wisnowski, who's now working out in Lubbock, Texas, as she took a deep dive into the Heisman Trophy hopefuls as we look into this upcoming season. And Gabe Loper, another regular contributor at sportscaster.com. He's a student at Wayne State University. As we talked about the shift, the ever-changing landscape in college football, but the shift for the ACC Conference, a lot of their games being played from Saturdays to Friday nights, which will contend with high school football. So we will look forward to seeing you again a week from tonight. Again, our show, Open Mic, airs every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 here on WJR Radio. We always appreciate you guys tuning in and making the time. So until next time, I'm your host, Johnny Kane, and we will see you a week from today.